Can everyone please take your seats? We have quorum. First item on the agenda is the approval of the agenda. Okay, unanimous consent. Any objections? Seeing none, passes unanimously. Second item is the approval of the Academic Senate meeting minutes of February 15th. Second, okay. Any objections to unanimous consent? None. Motion carries. Item number three, announcements, administrative reports, memorials. Please come to the mics. Okay, seeing none then, I just want to, don't get alarmed, but after 3.5 plus years here, I just found out that if we're showing things on the board, I can do this. Wow. So I'll leave it up to Cheryl. I'm going to introduce her now if she wants it dark or light, but I've got to tell you, I love it like this because I look so much better in these penumbra shadows. So I think I'm going to have all the meetings like this from now on.
All two of them.
Oh, yeah, all two of them. Okay. Cheryl, if you want. Now I'd like to introduce Dr. Cheryl Littman. She's the Acting Dean of Institutional Effectiveness and the from the Office of Institutional Effectiveness.
Thank you. I also look better in dim lights, so I will be dimming the lights, but now you can at least say you've seen what I look like for those of you who I have not had the pleasure to meet. Thank you all. I can get started. Thank you all for, or I should say thank you, Manny. Maybe you didn't know that I was going to be presenting today, but thank you for to those of you who were interested in coming to hear a little bit more about my office. And what we do and how we might be able to serve the needs of the faculty better. So when I came to Queens College about 1.5 years ago, we started up the Office of Institutional Effectiveness. And that's kind of a generic term that I actually asked to use and have been regretting it maybe ever since, because I really feel like institutional effectiveness is not my domain alone. It really belongs to everyone at the college. It's everyone's job to make this institution as effective as it can be in whatever way people can contribute. But I do, my staff and I do spend a lot of time thinking about ways that we can help contribute to the work that other offices and other members of the campus community contribute to this. So this also is a trend in terms of bringing together the functional offices around assessment and data analysis and decision support and all of that. Institutional effectiveness, you'll hear more and more of that term being used for offices that have responsibilities in those areas over time. So some of the reasons why we decided to build an Office of Institutional Effectiveness here, out of some staff members that were already here on campus and doing some related work, was just because, as I said, this is sort of the way things are evolving in higher education. As you know, there's been an increased focus on assessment, not just student learning outcomes assessment, but assessment in all areas, including administrative offices. There are just new technologies have contributed to the way we access and use data, and my office has staff members with some expertise in those areas. How we use data, and I think faculty members will probably see some of this from their own experiences, that there have been changes in expectations in how we use data and for what we use data. And I don't mean just quantitative data, I mean qualitative information as well. Those people who are making use of data, there are more people with more sophisticated skills, and we want to be able to serve people at all levels of comfort with data and decision making. And we want to help to coordinate the research, assessment, and planning functions. Not only is that required by our accreditors, but it is good for institutional effectiveness. It does help us to understand where improvements are needed and what kind of efforts and resources might be dedicated to making those improvements. And as more data becomes available and our technical skills develop, we can answer more challenging questions using data in just more sophisticated ways. So let me introduce you. Unfortunately, I did not bring my staff with me, but they're hard at work, so I just want to let you know who's in that office. I think many of these names will be familiar to those of you who've had administrative roles on campus, but also if you've had any data needs, you might recognize some of these folks. So, as Manny introduced me, I'm Cheryl Lippman. I had spent some time, many years in fact, working in the central office and institutional research, so I have a strong background in that area as well as in assessment and accreditation. Dr. Zili Liang has been here as the IR manager and had worked in the administrative offices for a number of years. Lisandra Friedland has worked in primarily the general education area, but she's also an adjunct faculty member teaching in the philosophy department, so she brings a couple of perspectives to the work. Suen Bruno has been working in the area of financial aid and faculty workload. And then we have a couple of part-time folks. So Jaylene Ruiz is our research assistant, and she wears a few different hats in that role, and Celeste Nieves has worked for the college for a long time. She really is not technically part of my unit, but we borrow her for some of our administrative functions, and she helps us out. And we're just about to bring on a graduate intern into our office to help with some of the data projects and to give an intern some exposure and experience. So I'm not going to go through all the detailed goals, but as part of good practice and so that we're practicing what we preach, my office does engage in assessment. And to that end, we start off by identifying what goals and objectives are important for our office. So that's what you'll see up on the slide here. And this is what we strive to do on a daily basis, but not just with our heads down doing the many different tasks that come our way, but really trying to develop a vision that helps us meet these goals. So here's just a little diagram of the members of the campus community and others who we interact with on a regular basis. And this just shows some ways that we interact with these groups on campus. And then the next diagram, I'm just going to go through this very quickly because I don't think that, you know, there will be no quiz at the end. You won't need to know this, but just to give you a flavor of what it is that the office does. So I don't know if you can see what's up here. It looks small on my screen. Hopefully you can. Oh, I was going to dim the lights. Now's a good time to do that. Oh, okay. How's that? Better? Okay. So I just want to give you a little idea of what I mean in each of these areas. This I'm trying to be comprehensive without being exhaustive, just so that you get a sense that we're not just data people, although that is a lot of what we do, is we crank out some numbers. But it's not just about the numbers. It's really about trying to answer important questions that come from all parts of the campus community. And these are some of the ways and some of the areas that we do that in. So in analytics and reporting, we handle information related to enrollment management, human resources, budget. We produce things like persistence rates. We look at course performance. And of course, just general demographics, who our students are, who our employees are. In the area of assessment, we coordinate efforts around course and program assessment of student learning outcomes. Academic program review, we provide some data for that process. We are working on assessment in general education, administrative assessment to improve the operational and co-curricular outcomes. We focus on assessment, not just to meet compliance reporting requirements, but also, as I said before, just overall general institutional improvement. You probably first got acquainted with my office around accreditation. When I first came to the campus, we were right in the middle of our self-study process, and my office was involved in that, and also helped support some of the professional accreditation processes. We offer data support for grants, grant proposals, external data requests, research, and lots of different questions that come our way. We are working right now to develop some data visualizations that help people understand the data better than just looking at a bunch of numbers and columns and rows. So sometimes, as you know, a picture is worth 1,000 words, and we're trying to find the right pictures that help us understand what's happening on the campus. We have lots of compliance reporting requirements and that kind of thing as well. We have worked on and managed a number of different survey projects, some that are faculty generated, some that are externally generated, and others that we ourselves in the college administration are interested in learning some information, and survey is sometimes the way or the only way to gather that information. So we're involved in a number of survey projects at any given point in time. My office has the responsibility for helping to manage the faculty workload data. That's the data that identifies information about faculty's teaching loads and other kinds of release time. That's managed on a regular, ongoing basis in CUNY First. And that's basically sort of covers the high-level areas of what the office does. I'm just going to go through, I'm skipping some through some of this because I think it's just too much detail and I want to leave some time for questions. But just to give you a sense of, on the data side, we work with lots of different data resources. So we have expertise and developing expertise in a lot of different data systems, both internal and external, and some of them are listed here. Some of them may be familiar to you, others are data resources that you may not even know about. Here are some of the tools that we tend to rely on in order to manage data, get access to data, present data back to those who are going to use it for decision making. Here are some of the things that we're working hard to address. As we develop data displays, we want to be able to communicate those data displays and about them and help people understand how to use them for decision making. We try hard to develop, to balance actually data standards with flexibility. Every department has certain data needs. Some of them are somewhat standardized, but they're also very, very customized, and we're trying to develop data displays that allow some customizability, but we don't want to have every request that comes our way. We don't have enough staff to be able to handle everything on a customizable basis. So we're trying to develop some standards that help report data in a more efficient way. We're working to develop some data governance policies and rules, and I should say we are beginning to develop a group that will address some data governance issues and hopefully develop some policies and rules and practices that keep data safe and secure when it needs to be, and make some decisions about how data gets shared around the college. And we're, as any offices, we're challenged with resources because there's always more work to do than people to do it or time in the day, so we're working on that. So these are some of the ways that we support Queens College through marketing and communications and press inquiries and enrollment management, all of these different areas, academic program review and assessment. And I'm going to skip this for 1 second and come back to it, but I just want to remind you of the Queens College motto, and I have to say my Latin is pretty terrible, so I'm not even going to try to pronounce the Latin out loud, but we learn so that we may serve. But at institutional research, institutional effectiveness, we have our own motto, and this is what it is. And I just want to make sure that you see this very, very clearly. The devil is always in the details, and I must say that, you know, at least once a week, if not more often. Most people don't really have time for the details, but that's what we have to focus on. So let me just back up quickly and give you just a sense of what we're just beginning to work on now and make available. Some of this data will be publicly available. Some of it can't be because it's built on student-level data, and there have to be protections in place so that individual student data doesn't get out there in the public domain. So not everyone will have access to everything, but here's an example of, hopefully there's an example. Of what it might look like if you had access to some of our data displays. This is just an example of how we can take data that comes from different sources and actually means different things and put it together so that you can look at it all together. Sometimes that's necessary. You don't want to have to go to four different places to look at four different metrics. So this allows us to look, for example, for a given department. I happen to have psychology selected, but it could be any of the academic departments. This is just an example. This top chart shows the trends in student FTEs and courses that the psychology department offers. Oh, sorry, it's not, no wonder. Okay, I think I need to, what do I need to do to make this visible? Let's try that. Did that work? I think I need to quit this. I don't know how to do that. Sorry. There we go. Sorry about that. Okay. So there are four charts here. This first one here shows student FTEs in psychology courses. Here are the number of majors, declared majors in psychology. Beneath that, the number of graduates, students earning degrees in psychology. And over here is the number of full-time faculty. And right now, that's showing all, but we can look at it just for undergraduates. This is just one little example, or just for graduates. But you can see that these are interactive reports. There's some ability for the user to make some selections. And that's what I mean by flexibility, but with some standardization. I just wanted to give you an example of what I was talking about. So this is just one, and we're just starting to produce these, and so chairs and others will have access to this information. I think it's useful for a number of different purposes. And if you're not so familiar with some of the information about your own department, this would be one way to become a little more familiar about this, the students and the situation in your department. So I'm going to leave it at that and put the lights back up and see if anyone has any questions for me that you want me to clarify anything I said, or did I leave anything out, or anything else you're dying to know about the Office of Institutional Effectiveness. Thanks for your time. Look forward to hearing from you if you have any questions that you think my office can help answer.
Very much, Dr. Littman. Let's go. There are no special motions, so we're going to go to item number 5, Undergraduate Curriculum Committee minutes dated February 15th.
All right, to move the minutes of the February 15th Undergraduate Curriculum Committee meeting and move unanimous consent.
Any objection to unanimous consent? Seeing none, motion passes. Next item is the nominating committee report dated March 8th.
The nominating committee asks for your unanimous consent for the slate of nominees.
Any objections to unanimous consent? Okay, seeing none, motion passes. 5C, the Graduate Curriculum Committee, minutes dated February 14th.
Steve Schwartz at large. On behalf of Associate Provost Bill McClure, I move the minutes of February 2018 and ask for unanimous consent.
Any objections to unanimous consent? Okay, seeing none, motion passes. There is no old business. Is there any new business? All right. See you all next month. Once we get